We wanted to stay on the theme of law and privacy this hour and tackle a growing controversy that's kind of on the sidelines of the growing anxiety about looming ICE raids in Northern California. And this is news that came out in the tech press earlier this week. That Immigration and Customs Enforcement is now paying a Bay Area-based firm's Vigilant Solutions for access to a massive database largely consisting of scanned images of license plates from street readers. They advertise to their law enforcement clients 6.5 billion data points. And this presumably gives law enforcement the capacity not just to see where people go over time, what kind of patterns they have in their lives, but what type of people park next to each other on regular occasions, say, the evening of the regular anti-police terror project meeting, and also the capacity to get alerts in real time whenever a license plate runs in front of a reader. It's a level of kind of mass surveillance and tracking that's only really been in the realm of science fiction until recently. So the big question here is what sanctuary jurisdictions can do about it. And we are joined in studio by Brian Hoffer. He is with the organization Oakland Privacy and chair of Oakland's Privacy Advisory Commission. That's for the city of Oakland. Brian, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me here.
Appreciate it.
Why don't you just start us off by walking through the technology? What does Vigilant Solutions do? How do they do it?
They're a subscription-based service. They have a system of their own license plate readers, and they also contract with other parties like repo guys, local law enforcement agencies, other private parties, and they aggregate license plate data from all across the country. And with a subscription, you get access to that database. You could type in a number and find out where that vehicle has been located. You get the time and the date. You get photos of it. And it allows you to start tracking people.
I imagine that law enforcement says that this is a subscription that they need because say they're trying to track someone that they have identified as committing a crime.
Yeah, that's pretty much the main justification.
But what are the other concerns?
The other concerns are that it's really easy with only three data points to identify over 90% of people. When you have the time and location information, all you need is three data points. And so if your car has been scanned multiple times, we can figure out who you are, you know, where your place of worship is, who your doctor is, where you work. Ars Technica did a great story a couple years ago. They got Oakland Police Department's entire database, and the author, Saruth, sat down with Councilmember Dan Kalb and pointed out a map and said, "Is that your house?" Dan fell out of his chair. So it's very easy to figure out these associations, and when you have a rogue agency like ICE, our concern gets heightened.
Now, to be clear, Vigilant Solutions is buying license plate data from some law enforcement agencies, but not the Oakland Police Department.
I don't know that buying is the correct term. It is shared with them. Yes, law enforcement agencies share their database with Vigilant. The Oakland Police Department does not. I'd say the Bay Area is kind of 50-50. Half host their own, have their own self-contained systems. They might share it with a fusion center like NCRIC, but they don't go through Vigilant.
Which jurisdictions are sharing with Vigilant?
Mostly I'd say like the deep East Bay. You know, they're out of Livermore. And so some of the smaller people that, smaller forces that just couldn't maybe afford the infrastructure, they tend to just use a subscription model, whereas larger police forces that could afford to have their own readers and hosting tend to do so.
It's not just license plate images that are being captured, correct?
Right. And that's, you know, we work on surveillance ordinance efforts all around the Bay Area, and never once does any staff report ever truly tell the full technical capabilities. You saw that when you were working with us on a domain awareness center. Right. You know, these scanners pick up photos of people. They pick up home addresses because they're also numbers. You know, they scan all sorts of things, and they never tell the elected official when they're asking, you know, for authorization or funding. They don't tell people the full impact of this equipment.
So let's say ICE wanted to track down someone who lived in Oakland. They don't have access to the OPD's license plate database through Vigilant Solutions. What procedural hurdles would they have to go through to get that data out of the OPD?
So now we have the complete non-cooperation resolution here in Oakland. So we're not supposed to assist ICE unless it's in response to like a true public safety emergency. But they could go through NCRIC or ARIES.
What is NCRIC?
And they do. So NCRIC is the Northern California Intelligence Regional Center. It's hosted in San Francisco. It's a combination of federal, state, and local private partners, and they share data. At my last count, I think there's over 140 law enforcement agencies in California, and NCRIC offers them free hosting for their license plate data, so that's the carrot. They do it. NCRIC came and presented to our Privacy Commission last month, and I asked, has anyone put any restrictions on their data? And in the executive director's 11 years there, he said, never. So there's no mindfulness. Everyone just uploads their data, and ICE has direct access to NCRIC. They have a direct access to the California DMV database. And so they can get all these data points without having to even go to OPD.
So Oakland's policy of non-cooperation with ICE is on this front, it's effectively moot if they're sharing the data elsewhere with no restrictions.
Yep. And it's very hard to regulate a private party. So even if we set a policy saying, you know, don't share OPD, you know, because we can control Oakland Police Department's actions.
Sorry, I digress.
We can attempt to. You know, we can't go out and regulate that private party.
What do we know about how these databases have actually been used so far?
You know, we see vigilance marketing materials where they try to highlight their success cases. And I have been told when I go around and, you know, I work with law enforcement that they have had success in identifying witnesses or locating stolen vehicles. We do see some reporting metrics that come out like that.
If I'm someone with a car, I'm not. But hypothetically, if I'm someone with a car and a license plate and I don't want to be in this database, I don't want my license plate image tracked, I don't want my whereabouts put into a database over time. Let's say I'm someone who has a restraining order against my husband who happens to be a law enforcement agent with access to this database, and I don't want him knowing where I go in my vehicle. What recourse do I have?
So the California Vehicle Code is interesting. You know, it's one of the few statutes where we have like a mandatory duty to identify ourselves in public. Your license plate has to be visible. You have to present your ID if an officer asks for it. There is a bill that just lost SB 712, which was going to allow folks to cover just their license plate. So right now you can cover your entire car, you know, like you wanted to protect it from the weather or whatnot.
But only while parked.
But only while parked. And this would allow you to just cover just the license plate. So, you know, ostensibly you would be scanned fewer times. And that lost, you know, because of the usual law enforcement concerns that all the criminals are going to evade technology and detection and the terrorists will win. To kind of circle back to your previous question, you know, about the restraining orders, domestic violence, you know, we see that people stalking, you know, that obviously was coming out during the NSA and the Edward Snowden revelations about people looking up their exes or monitoring even their current partners, celebrities. People pull their information all the time and find out where they're located, and they never had a legitimate law enforcement to access that data.
In the Trump era, like, we hear a lot of people say, I can't believe we're doing this now. I can't believe we're doing this now. And if you've been paying attention for a minute, there's a lot of things that are just more a continuation. This is not new, correct?
No. You know, most electeds never thought we should ever, you know, have tight policies in place or discuss retention limits because, like, oh, we'll just trust President Obama and Attorney General Holder and everything will be fine. And there's this massive expansion of the surveillance state. And now it's in Trump's hands. And now we're on red alert. It's like, well, you know, we could have done something. And we just didn't.
So, like, what's the worst case scenario for an abuse of this technology?
I mean, it's targeting of folks. You can target someone. You could find out and, you know, surveil and harass them. I mean, it's any other type of 1A activity infringement. We've had, you know, heard confirmed stories of ALPR use at, like, gun shows. You know, the NRA got upset about that. They don't care about anybody else's civil liberties, but they did care about their own targeting of, you know, attendees at Black Lives Matter meetings. You know, there's that famous Supreme Court case where they tried to get the NAACP to reveal their membership, you know, their membership roles, and the court said that was unconstitutional. Now you don't have to get them to reveal it. You just go scan the parking lot with a license plate reader or, you know, use a stingray and capture their MC codes. And so you don't need to force them to reveal these things anymore. There's just mass surveillance everywhere.
Tell our listeners what a stingray is.
Yeah, so a stingray locates cell phones. Yeah, it's a piece of hardware and combined with software, and it tricks your cell phone into connecting to it. It sends out a really strong signal, and basically it spoofs a cell phone tower. So when your phone connects to it, each of our phones have a little code, a unique code, and so that they could then, you know, locate you possibly inside your own building or in a house. And they could also force all the phones in the vicinity to reveal their codes. So if it was like a Black Lives Matter meeting, you could force all those phones inside the building to connect to your Stingray, and you could find out who's in there.
Just who's in there, or could you also monitor the data that's now passing through your Stingray?
So the local authorized law enforcement version of the software does not allow for content interception. We do believe, you know, we've got enough of a paper trail to believe that the federal level, FBI and NSA level software does have content interception.
And the federal level is what was used at Standing Rock?
Yes.
Well, speaking of Brian Hofer, he's with the organization Oakland Privacy. He is also a member and chair of Oakland's Privacy Advisory Commission. And what we're speaking about is the revelation that Immigration and Customs Enforcement now has a contract with a Bay Area firm, they're based in Livermore, called Vigilant Solutions, that aggregates data from license plate readers that are deployed on states around the country. They advertise to their clients 6.5 billion data points that tells you where license plates have been and at what date and time. I guess the question I'm left with is kind of this due process question, because you've talked about how to apply this technology, not just to figure out where people have been, but who they associate with, what organizations they're members of, and so on and so forth. At what point does the use of this technology rise to the level of needing some kind of due process, needing something like a warrant?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is one of those problems where the technology spreads so fast that there were no guidelines or laws in place, and now it's the use is so ubiquitous, we're not putting the genie back in the bottle. You know, when I go around and talk to law enforcement, my first question is, what authority are you relying on that allows you to collect data on people not suspected of wrongdoing? And that's the end of the conversation. It just stops. There's nothing that's saying you're authorized. But at this point, we haven't challenged it. We've let it go. It's spread everywhere. You know, there's sort of implied authorization now in California with SB 34. I mean, it requires a privacy policy, but that's basically implying that you're allowed to use it. And courts aren't saying that it's a search. And so there's not a warrant requirement. What we're doing at the local level, and specifically, you know, when we're focusing on ICE, is turning off the data hose. You know, it's the same thing that, you know, Facebook and others did with like Geofedia and others that were getting access to the Twitter and Facebook data and then selling that to law enforcement to go target BLM. And that's what we're trying to do, is prohibit local law enforcement from ever sharing it with Vigilant in the first place. Or if you're going to send it out to some data sharing program like NCRIC, restrict it and don't let ICE access it. So, you know, we do have solutions. We can turn off their data access, and then it's going to start impacting their business model, and it's going to greatly lessen the risk.
But in theory, nothing stopping Vigilant Solutions, or ICE for that matter, from slapping a few license plate readers on a car and just sending it out to drive around the streets of Oakland and collect their own data, no cooperation with the Oakland Police Department required.
Correct. And that's a big concern when, you know, a federal agency is specifically targeting Oakland by name.
I'm kind was kind of speechless here by like how dystopian this is. I guess the other correlate of this is that the information's not public. It's asymmetrical information. So like I, as a journalist, can't use it to find out which local public officials regularly park their cars in front of known brothels.
Yeah, so I think there's a little wiggle room in what we can get access to. Most law enforcement now is saying, okay, we're not going to release everything. Like, actually, that's what Oakland said after they gave their big data dump to Ars Technica. They're like, oh, wait, we shouldn't have done that. We're not going to give it to anybody. But the ACLU and EFF won their California Supreme Court case last year when they were fighting Los Angeles over whether or not these records were disclosable under the Public Record Act. So I think some, I mean, the court did say that some of that information must be disclosed. You know, there may be some redaction issues or, some restrictions, but some of it must be disclosed.
Brian, you mentioned it being dystopian. I guess that for me as an activist, it all feels very normal. And like, this is sort of the world that I've lived in for a while. I mean, you mentioned us working on the Domain Awareness Center. That was feels like forever ago. And then earlier, Brian, you talked about... Brian Hoffer.
Yeah.
You talked about the surveillance state. And I think it's important when we do these segments to sort of paint a picture for our listeners. We're not just talking about license plate readers. Talk about what you mean when you say surveillance state and all of the ways. I know, well, maybe not all of the ways, but, you know, what's the realities of the society we live in now?
Right. And that's really what we're hoping to get to with regulation at the federal level is the recognition, and I think in U.S. v. Jones, it's already starting to happen, but this mosaic theory, it's not one data point that is infringing my civil liberties. It's this large collection and aggregation of all these data points. So when you have facial recognition software and license plate readers and stingrays and video and data analysis and my social media software is being monitored and you aggregate all that into a file, you now have a complete portrait of my life that gives you a lot of control. And once we can get, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court to fully endorse that this mosaic theory, that there is this privacy impact from this mass aggregation of data, then I think we'll start seeing some significant regulations flow. And, it, you know, a lot of this has been in the dark. Oakland had a stingray for 10 years. Well, then how do you regulate it? We never could. The city council never authorized it. They didn't know we had it. So it's, you know, our first step is getting all this out in the open. You know, that's the surveillance ordinance we're working on. It is forcing everything out into the public. And then we could start to regulate things from there. But when you combine the government surveillance with what private parties are capable of, you know, I hate saying, I mean, I refuse to accept that privacy is dead, but it's heading that way.
Brian Hofer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Brian Hofer is with the organization Oakland Privacy. He's also chair of the City of Oakland Privacy Advisory Commission.